are in the secret.
Welcome to America Tonight. Kate Delaney here as the captain of the ship as we certainly navigate through some rough waters, especially when we're talking about Egypt, and we're going to start there from the get-go. But coming up, we're going to lighten the load. We have our cheap movie review. Maybe, just maybe, on this Super Bowl weekend, you're taking in a flick, and it's sort of chick flick weekend. Some of the better fare that's already out there, you know, like The Fighter, things that are up for Oscars, The King's Speech, you know, there's a bunch of others you might not have seen. So maybe you end up going to do that. Or you could go check out The Roommate, The Other Woman, or Waiting Forever. So we're going to let you find out what they're all about when we do that movie preview. But first, we're going to look at Egypt and the situation in Egypt and previewing what's happening there. That's a drama that's really playing out. And the fact is, at this point, Mubarak is short for being the, I think, at this point, for being the dictator of Egypt after 30-plus years. Because at this point, with the violence, with the journalists being attacked and whatnot, there's no doubt that his exit visa is imminent, and plans are being discussed for his resignation. And he says, and we'll see if he sticks to this, if he resigns, that there'll be chaos, even more chaos. So Mubarak is saying, look, I've been doing this for 30 years, and if I resign, that's what you're going to see. He's blaming the Muslim Brotherhood, a banned political party, for the situation that they're in now. At this point, he sat down for about a half an hour and talked to ABC News' Christiana Amanpour, easy for me to say, and I'm sure they're going to have a bunch of that on Sunday. But he was pretty candid with her, I think. It seemed that way to me. I saw a little clip of it, and I think they even did a one-hour special, and he said he wasn't happy with the way that the Egyptians are fighting each other, but he does blame this on the Muslim Brotherhood, saying that if they hadn't erupted and organized it, we wouldn't have seen what we're seeing in the streets of Cairo and all that chaos. The worst part of, I think, all of this now is the fact that even the journalists that are there with the big flak jackets on that say press are getting beaten. I mean, being sent to the hospital bruised and battered and all that sort of stuff is just wrong. You know, that's just one of those things. Let them cover it. Of course, usually people in the streets are playing up to the cameras or whoever the journalists are, and now just shows you, now they've just decided, we'll just take that journalist out. Who cares? And that's not good. So surrounding news crews, threatening them, threatening to behead somebody, and a Swedish reporter just flat out disappearing and then showing up. They figured he was kidnapped, then showing up in the hospital. I think Mubarak's hand is absolutely forced. And they've got a massive march really going on now at this point. And the square is just dark, and you have these journalists beaten, detained, stabbed, threatened. I think this is curtains for the Mubarak regime. I don't see how he survives that. And then somebody in the interim comes in, whoever that is. There are some suggestions. September would mean new elections, so the transparency and the free democratic process that the young people are shouting about in the streets would perhaps happen. That's the idea. You know, the idea is, okay, they're saying, the Muslim Brotherhood, we were here because we don't like what's happening to the country and we're tired of this dictator. We want transparency. We want the right to choose who is the leader of the country, and it's not Mubarak. At this point, it's bye-bye. If you're Israel, though, you have to be concerned because what's going to happen here? You saw Tunisia, and we've seen Iran and the threats of Ahmadinejad and how soon before they have a nuke, which they may already have, and his anti-Israeli attitude. If you get the same situation going on in Egypt after all these years of peace, that would be pretty rough for a country like Israel. So they're concerned, and they should be concerned. The U.S. has to be concerned, too, for lots of different reasons, including Israel economics, positioning in the Middle East, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, are they next because they've got young people who are unemployed, same high numbers. Is that the next country or the next two countries where there's going to be these protests and Molotov cocktails and threats and, you know, everything else? So Mubarak said that he wouldn't run for re-election, but that's not enough for the people who are protesting because they want him gone now. And at this point, he's just become, if anything, a lightning rod to be criticized, attacked, and whatever else. And if like I said, if they're truly going to have some kind of a democratic process going on, he's done. He's toast. I don't see how he hangs on to it. It was a little bit different. People want to compare the situation in Iran. Boy, that was shut down so fast. All the Twitter messages that came out, some of the horrendous things that were going on as far as the students there and their protests. But that was contained. Ultimately, a lid was put on that. And in this case, there's no lid to be had. No lid. I want to squeeze in a couple of other quick things here, too, before we go to the movie review. The sleet, the freezing rain, all of you listening to me in some spots know you're dealing with it, whether it's 20 inches of snow, whether it's the ice storm that has slammed into Texas and Oklahoma and some other places. Boy, it's rough. If people start, you know, they think they're okay, and then they hit one of those slick patches, it can shut down big chunks of highways. And a lot of the spots where they got the ice, they don't have the sand trucks and the ability to do what they have to do. They had to get things trucked in or whatever because they're out of it in some cases, not expecting the kind of winter that we've had so far, and we're just into the beginning of February. Big prayer breakfast in Washington for Congresswoman Giffords. Obama spoke, Mark Kelly spoke, and it's interesting because Obama's always quizzed or questioned about his religion, and pretty much, not pretty much, he flat out said God several times and talked about his faith, and his Christian faith is what he was talking about. He said nothing about a Muslim faith or anything to do with Islam, because often that is what's volleyed out there. But it was the opposite of what Obama said in addressing the Giffords situation. And her husband talked about the fact that she's rehabbing quickly and doing well, and the progress is great. Every single day she takes another step forward. We talked about this on a previous show. Many of you sounded off on it, whether or not Kelly should go into space and command the Endeavor. It's leaning in the direction that he might do that, but he hasn't officially said, just that it's a tough decision. Does he stay and while his wife is going through the rehab process, or does he do what he was trained to do and go into space? Movies coming up around the bend.
You really can lose weight while you're sleeping. Guaranteed. AffinityDiet.com introduces Lose and Snooze and the One Day Diet. Great tasting Lose and Snooze from AffinityDiet.com is the first step in our guaranteed weight loss system. Lose and Snooze will help your body get a deep restorative sleep without the harmful side effects of pharmaceutical drugs. And during deep natural sleep, your body starts to shed unwanted pounds, build lean muscle, and lose inches. Add AffinityDiet.com's One Day Diet waivers and your metabolism keeps going with all the vitamins and minerals you need with no real rebound effect. But don't worry, you're never more than 24 hours from your favorite foods. Learn more about Lose and Snooze and the one-day diet at affinitydiet.com, spelled A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y, diet.com, or call toll-free 855-663-3438. That's 855-663-3438. Finally, a diet that succeeds where others have failed. From affinitydiet.com.
Gold isn't for you?
Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If you own a septic system or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy to use 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge, stops costly pump-outs and repairs, and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
To the movies here on America Tonight. Black Swan, The Fighter, all up for Oscars, King's Speech. Some people are into the comic books and The Green Hornet. That's another one that gets a lot of play. True Grit, up for some Oscars too. I saw True Grit, I thought it was pretty good. The Dilemma, that's another one a lot of people have been talking about. And now we have some new movies, so if none of those are tripping your switch, opening this week, there's one movie, it's at the bottom of my list, it's called Waiting Forever. There was four new movies that came out. We're not going to play you a snippet of, or we are going to play you a snippet of that one, but there are four movies all together that are coming out, and there's one that we're not going to. There's The Roommate, The Other Woman, and Waiting Forever, but there's another movie called, and somebody sent me a text about it, The Sanctum. Don't know if you've heard of that one or not. And The Sanctum, some of these are such great Netflix rentals. I mean, the good news is, if they bomb, or if it's just crazy the amount of money you have to pay to go see a movie, and you have the subscription to Netflix anyway, this is probably one of those that you're going to, probably that's one of them that you would wait for, is what I think. And what it is they're talking about in Sanctum, they're talking about being in a cave that a master diver who's explored the South Pacific caves for months, but his exit is cut off in a flash flood, and everybody has to search for him. The supplies are dwindling, and can they be trapped forever, or what will ultimately happen? And that sounds to me like one of those deep-sea diving things. As somebody who dives, I don't like to see those pictures too often, but it sounds like it could be a rental. That's what it's, a rental, not going to the movie theater on the big screen and seeing it. Chick flicks, you want to get in good because you've got your last weekend of football, then we have March Madness, and if you're a sports fan, you're playing golf, you're doing weekend warrior things, so you want to get in good with your lady friend, you take her to maybe one of these movies. This one might be a little rough for her. Depends on if she likes scary things or not, but this one is called The Roommate.
Room 316. You're your roommate, Rebecca.
Hi, I'm Sarah. You can borrow anything you want.
I've always wanted a sister. I want to show you the big city.
What do you got? Pancakes.
That's what I was thinking. What should we name her?
Really?
That'll be our secret.
You guys free? We're going to 7 Grand. How are we going to get in?
We're hot.
Did you see that guy checking you out?
This is your home?
There's never a home when I lived here.
Rebecca's doing really well.
She's doing good?
She's taking her medication.
Medication? Rebecca.
Something is up with your roommate.
What do you mean?
About a deranged college freshman who becomes obsessed with her new roommate. Ever been in that situation? Yeah. Scary movie. It's gotten pretty high ratings. If you like that kind of thing, Minka Kelly is in it. All right. This movie I saw, somebody sent me an early cut of it, and it was actually pretty good, but pretty depressing in a sense, and it's called The Other Woman.
I'm the new associate, by the way, Amelia Greenleaf.
Jack Wolf.
Nice to meet you.
I'm married. Is that okay?
As long as you don't say they've never done this before and you're afraid of hurting your wife.
I've never done this before. I'm afraid of hurting my wife.
Will, this is Amelia.
Pleased to meet you.
Pleased to meet you too.
To Amelia and Jack, may their marriage be long and fruitful.
I'm so happy that you're expecting.
It's not one of your choices, honey.
You need to take an active role in your own grief.
My friend Bailey's dad sells things on eBay. You should sell the baby stuff.
I really don't want to talk about selling the baby things, okay?
That's what it's for.
Will you shut up?
Will.
Children aren't safe around you, Amelia. I think we've proven that. Stay away from mine.
But I'm his stepmother.
That's nothing. Less than nothing.
All right, I think we get the gist of that. If you recognize a voice in there and the other woman, it's probably because the voice that you hear, she's also in The Black Swan. That would be Natalie Portman. And I, as I said, I saw this, and it has to do with her losing a child, seducing a married man, that kind of thing. There were some interesting moments in it, but I would say rental, rental, rental. Here's one that would probably score big points with the wife, the girlfriend, you know, whoever, called, because it's one of those chick flick things, it's called Waiting for Forever.
Girlfriend, then.
Her name is Emma.
Emma.
You are finally here.
So how long have you and Emma been together?
I guess I'd have to say forever, sir. We went to school until I was 10, and then I moved away.
You didn't have to come home.
I really wanted to come home.
Emma? It's Will.
Willie? Wow! Hi! It's been so long. Look at me. Look at us.
You look beautiful. In my dreams, I breathe her in, I inhale her.
You talk like following this woman is something that makes sense, but it doesn't.
Do you want to go somewhere?
I'm meeting somebody.
Is he a friend of yours?
He wants to marry me.
How can one step away from you ever be anything for me but a step in the wrong direction?
Okay, this is not the way the world works. You gotta stop this. We're not kids anymore.
Something I've wanted to say to you for a long time.
Waiting for Forever, that's the name of that movie, as I said, and it's pretty obvious what it's about. You know, it's that whole love thing and struggling with it. Some familiar voices, perhaps maybe Jamie King, Nikki Blonsky, you might recognize her. James Keach is the guy who directed it. It's produced by his wife, is one of the producers, Jane Seymour. Here's the good thing. If you go to this movie, it's an hour and 34 minutes. Not too bad. So you're not stuck sitting there forever and a day. Stay with us. We're kicking the can down the road.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MainMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish at M10 gas masks are 3 for $30, and Swiss filters are 3 for $12. Searching for strike anywhere matches? MainMilitary.com has them, plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E Military.com, or call 877-608-0179, 877-608-0179. MainMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you, too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
This message starts with a great offer from Big Berkey Water Filters, because we don't want you drinking dangerous water 1 minute longer. Right now, purchase any filter system from BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com to get your choice of two Berkey sport bottles, a KDF shower filter, a set of fluoride filters, or our new SightGlass spigot absolutely free. Why do this? Because over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated, and at less than 2 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify both treated and untreated water, removing dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and other contaminants. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, so they're perfect for rainwater collection systems and emergency preparedness. Remember, Big Berkey includes free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkey waterfilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkey waterfilters.com or call today 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Forget everything you've been told about long-term food storage. When all hell breaks loose, you'll need the single most effective way to get high-powered Delta Force nutrients to your family fast. Like any Special Forces commando, you need a plan. You need a Black Hawk Down food plan. Introducing the Survival Sprout Bank from Solutions from Science. It's your countertop survival garden. Yes, grow fresh greens right on your countertop in just a few short days. Sprouts are the green shoots that emerge from newly germinated seeds, and they are powerhouses of living, easily absorbed nutrients. The Survival Sprout Bank is a complete kit with nothing else to buy. And with sprouts so easy to grow, even children can grow emergency food. Call 877-327-0365 or go to SurvivalSproutBank.com. That's 877-327-0365 or order online at SurvivalSproutBank.com. Survival Sprout Bank, your Black Hawk Down emergency food plan.
Welcome back to America Tonight. If you've listened to this show for any length of time, you know I'm all into rock and roll, all kinds of rock, too. Even a little bit, I have to confess, some heavy metal. And I got my favorites, there's no doubt, my favorite Axemen. So this is just perfect for this show. Jason Peirce joins us from AOL Music, talking about the 50 greatest guitar riffs. Boy, that would be, this argument's going to span for at least a couple of shows here. Jason, thanks for hopping on with us.
Hi, Kate, thanks for having me.
Okay, when you set out to do this, you do have your own personal prejudice, so I'm just curious. Prejudices. I'm just curious as to who your favorite guys are. And it could be women, too. I shouldn't just leave the women out either. But who are your favorites? I call them Axemen, of course, but who are your favorites?
Well, you know, the funny thing is one of my absolute favorite guitarists of all time didn't even make the list. Pete Townsend. Yeah, Pete Townsend is one of my all-time favorites, and he didn't even crack the top 50. So while this was a labor of love, it was also, it was a pretty painful experience in a lot of ways.
Yeah, no kidding. Set this up for us, the criteria. How do you, because it's tough. Like I said, we could spend lots of shows doing this, and I think I would constantly get an argument back from somebody that I didn't really set up the right criteria. So what were the parameters of it?
Well, you know, the first is it good? Or, you know, more to the point, is it amazing? But there's also things like emotional impact and cultural significance. And in that respect, we tried to cast a pretty wide net so that we didn't end up with just, a list of 50 classic rock tunes. So, we wanted to get in some indie rock and some funk and some disco along with, the towering classics of guitar rock.
Yeah. The towering classics, do they win out more than some of the funk and the indie stuff? Did they make the list heavier or lighter?
Well, I mean, if you look at the top 10, it's a pretty classic rock roster. I mean, it's hard to argue with some of the top ten, and there isn't much in the way of new music. I mean, the most recent song in the top ten is Enter Sandman by Metallica. And that's... yeah, and it's a fantastic riff, but, you know, it kills me. It's 20 years old.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this. This is fresh when I got out of school. I was a DJ, and I can remember playing that. I can remember how huge that was and how many people would request it. And it floats around in your head, but you're right. That's some time ago, no doubt about it. How about females? Females making the list anywhere in there?
If I'm not mistaken, I believe we had one, which is shameful. There are a lot of really amazing female guitar players, but not so many really amazing, or at least really well-known and amazing female riff meisters, if you were. I mean, it would have been great to get somebody like Joni Mitchell on the list, who is one of the greatest guitar players ever to live. But I believe... Carrie Brownstein of Slater Kinney, which is an indie rock band out of the Pacific Northwest, was on there at number 48, and I think she is the only woman on the list.
Wow. Weeks later, a funeral was held. All of Ireland was in attendance. Nancy Wilson from Heart.
Including John Jameson. No, although, you know, Barracuda was right on the cusp of making the list, because the opening riff of Barracuda is fantastic.
Virtual yeah, I agree. And seeing that live, I have to say,
that is
it
impressive.
Still holds up. A smaller venue, whatever,
record,
it still really, really
I'm
holds
at least
up.
Three balls
okay,
long.
Okay, so you talked about Enter Sandman. That's number 10 on the list. A group that I used to love. I thought they were still pretty good. The Kinks make the list. Where did they check in?
Oh yeah, the Kinks got pretty high. They're at number 6. You Really Got Me, which in a lot of ways is the first rock and roll, the first hard rock track. Some would even say it's one of the first punk tracks. Basically, it's a really simple riff. It's not complex at all. But what it lacks in complexity, it makes up for in kind of sheer snotty rock anger. I mean, it's only 3 chords, and they slashed open their amplifier with a razor blade just to make it sound as bad and dangerous as they could. Wow. That's about as rock and roll as it gets.
Yeah, no kidding. When I think of, you know, if you say this to me, oh, greatest riff of all time, I know part of the response I would get, I would probably get at least 5 or 6 people that would bring up Jimi Hendrix. So Jimi Hendrix, certainly with Voodoo Child, makes the list. Where did that check in?
Well, and this is probably where you're going to get the most controversy, because Jimmy isn't at number 1. He snuck in at number 2 with Voodoo Child's Slight Return. And even that is potentially controversial, because a lot of people will tell you, you got to be kidding, man. Purple Haze, man. Where's Purple Haze?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about Voodoo Child is not only is it kind of the guitar player's guitar riff, but the story behind it is amazing, because the cut that made the album... A TV crew came in and was filming them in the studio and literally asked the band, hey, can you guys look busy? So Jimmy just tore out kind of the classic version of that song on a whim just to make this TV crew have, just so this TV crew had something to look at.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I would think Purple Haze, too. I guarantee that's going to, you're going to. I'm gonna have to do a couple of shows on this. I know it. How about the great Chuck Berry?
Oh yeah, well Chuck Berry's on there at number 5 with Johnny B. Goode, and it's another semi-controversial pick, because some people would argue that it's not a riff, it's a vamp, and it gets into all kinds of crazy musicological terminology that, frankly, sometimes goes a little over my head. But Johnny B. Goode comes in at number 5, and, you know, it's easy to explain why. It's kind of one of the truly seminal rock and roll tracks. It's one of the songs that gave birth to rock and roll as we know it.
Yeah, no kidding. I still can't go to a hockey game and not hear somewhere, back, and that Back in Black made it, AC/DC. I'm a terrible singer. I'd never be on Idol or any of those shows, but Back in Black makes it.
Yeah, they came in at number 8. And, you know, there's a bunch of, in researching this, you got a lot of very interesting and surprising stories. And the Back in Black story is great because, you know, they almost threw it away. Malcolm Young was going to trash the tape that had the Back in Black riff on it. and his brother convinced him, don't throw it out. And years later, they ended up pulling it out after their original lead singer died, and they turned the track into a tribute to Bon Scott.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's a good little tidbit. And it's going from extremes, from AC/DC to the Beatles. So what song do the Beatles make it in there with?
Well, the Beatles are a tough one because, you know, like Led Zeppelin and like Jimi Hendrix, they're a band that came up with a lot of amazing riffs. But kind of the most recognizable, one of the greatest opening portions of any rock and roll song is Day Tripper. So Day Tripper came in at number 11. And it's just kind of a great example of the interplay between John Lennon and George Harrison at the height of their powers and the height of their creativity. And, you know, let's face it, it's a classic song.
Yeah, no kidding. Somebody that I don't think made it into the top 10, and looking at it, somebody I saw a bunch in concert, Eric Clapton. What happened to Slowhand?
Well, the funny thing is, Slowhand is on the list twice, and he didn't come up with either riff that he's on the list for, which is really weird. So, you know, he's on there for a Cream track where the bassist came up with the riff, and he's on there for Layla, but Dwayne Allman came up with the riff. So Slowhand is playing two of the greatest riffs of all time, Sunshine of Your Love, which is number 12, and Layla, which I think was at 23 or somewhere in there. Anyway, so he's on there twice, and he didn't come up with either riff, even though he's arguably the greatest living guitar player.
Yeah, no kidding. How about, I know that I would get calls on this too, Motley Crue doesn't make it anywhere in there? Or they do?
No, that was a tough one. Motley Crue's not on the list, and, you know, they had a couple songs that could have made it. I think the only kind of glam metal band that does make it, and they wouldn't want to be called glam metal, but the only band that is on there from that kind of genre is Guns N' Roses at number 7 with Sweet Child of Mine.
Yeah. When you tried to come up with number 1, first of all, tell us who number 1 was and how you arrived at that.
Well, number 1 is Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones. And coming up with number 1 was actually the easiest part of the entire process because the entire feature came about. I was in the car with my fiance. Satisfaction came on. I turned to her and said, you know, this has got to be the greatest guitar riff of all time. And she turned to me and said, I think you just wrote your next article. So it was the easiest number one anybody's ever reached because that's where I started.
Yeah, no kidding. In doing the research and coming up with all this, did you just go roll back and hang out and listen to these tracks? Were you listening to a whole – you must have been listening to a ton of tracks, or did you just – do a bunch of research and listen to some of them? How'd you do that?
Well, I started by spending a full weekend sitting in front of my record shelves with my headphones on. Mm-hmm. So I have to say, in terms of researching a piece, this is about as much fun as I've ever had.
No kidding.
All I did was spend 48 hours listening to my records and, you know, falling in love all over again with rock and roll.
Yeah. Oh, no kidding. I mean, just a fascinating article. Interesting stuff, and I know we're going to be talking about this a lot. Everybody listening, come up with your favorite guitar riff. Let's see what you have to say, American. Jason Peirce, thanks so much for sharing this with us from AOL Music. Good stuff. What a great subject. Again, must have been so much fun, like you were just describing. Did it take you back to a lot of memories?
Oh, it did indeed. And, you know, it made some new ones. I mean, it made me a bigger Chuck Berry fan. And you can't ask for anything better than that.
Yeah, I agree. What a place to end. Jason, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Yeah. Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys?
18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued, so I used the program methods. And after filing one piece of paper, the collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With Zero Debt in 90 Days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days, guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Finally, it's here. Do you believe it? I'm kind of sad because I'm such a football hound. Here we are, the big game, Super Bowl, Pittsburgh and Green Bay, the two left standing. Is it going to live up to the hype? And there's always hype for the Super Bowl. And, you know, it's got the ice in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for all the people who are rolling in to come see this thing, so it's just absolutely crazy. The Buddha is with us, Steve Budin, joining us all season long, giving us great advice, talking about the odds and some of the stuff that has happened during the season. Steve, how crazy that it's colder in Dallas than it is in Green Bay or it is in Pittsburgh, at least for the past couple days anyway.
I mean, I think they're going to start having it in Miami every year, and I don't think anyone's going to complain.
I agree. See, I understand why the owners want the Super Bowl to come to their area and all the money that gets pumped in, but I'm with you. I'm all about the warm weather places, Tampa, Miami, San Diego, any of the – even New Orleans is a lot warmer usually than what you're seeing. Remember, we had that Super Bowl in Detroit. Now it's going to Indianapolis next year. I mean, yeah, it's in a dome, but people are going to freeze.
Yeah, they're talking about New York, I think, the year after, which is like, you know what, keep a New Year's Eve in Times Square, but let the Super Bowl be somewhere else. New Yorkers need a place to go vacation.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with you. So the odds makers, when they first set this thing up, do you think they got it right between the Steelers and Green Bay?
You know, I don't. I really don't. I'm not the guy to step out on the line, you know, for the Super Bowl just because it's the Super Bowl for the players. Obviously, this is the pinnacle of their season. You know, even possibly for some of them, the biggest game of their careers. But for gamblers, you know, Kate, when you got your money on a game, Every game is the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I'm not really one to say, hey, bet more on this game than you would normally just because it's a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yet I'm releasing probably my biggest Super Bowl release in 3 years because I think the odds makers got it all wrong. I've seen this line. It's creeping up to 3 now. According to the public, this game, they don't even need to play it. It's over already. It's only Green Bay. And all you hear from all, I mean, you hear all the ex-coaches, the ex-players. This is the most drawn-out, over-listened to, over-analyzed, you know, game that you have all year because you have 2 weeks to talk about it. And everyone's saying the same thing. You know, Green Bay younger, Green Bay faster, Green Bay too good in a climate-controlled dome on the turf. You know, but the Steelers are a stronger team, mentally and physically. And you know what else? I would point to the sign on my backyard that says, beware of the dog, because when the Steelers are the dog this year 4 times, they've been the dog 3-1. They win outright 3 times out of the 4, and they've been underdog in the last 3 years 10 times. They've won 8 out of those 10 times, and in the last 9 Super Bowls, 7 out of the last 9 winners have been the dog. So I'm going to stay barking with the dog here. Take the points with the Steelers, and hey, the Steelers could lose the game, and you still might win if you're the better.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. And it's interesting because you've been touting, really, you have been touting the Steelers from the very beginning when Ben Roethlisberger was suspended. Then he came back in. You said, hey, watch the Steelers. I think in the end, you know, the Steelers.
I told everybody to take the 15-1 in week 3. They'd be sitting very pretty. And you know what? I'd tell them to hedge if that was the case. But if you didn't do that, you know, getting 3 points here with the Steelers, I just think it's too good to pass up. And I'd even say buy the extra half a point at this point. You know, you got 1 game left. You want to take the best chance possible to go into the off season with a good taste in your mouth. Don't let a half a point, you know, don't end this game on a push. It's like kissing your sister.
I like that analogy. It's like kissing your sister. The over-under, what do you say there? Sometimes people just go for that, you know?
You know, a little bit, you know, in these games, it's hard to find value because it's being bet for 2 weeks, so the lines are usually very sharp. But again, I think this total's a little low. I think either one of these teams could score 45 points on their own. I think they're going to throw the run out right about at the 2 minutes gone into the first quarter. And I think they'll be just passing on each other all night long. And I think the reason why the total's so low is because 4 out of the last 5 Super Bowls have gone under. So people are kind of gun-shy about betting the over in Super Bowls. So I think that 45, I think, is definitely a low total. I would go over there. And as far as the game goes, another key to the game in Pittsburgh, just to, you know, over-talk about it like everyone else, is – did you notice the hit on Aaron Rodgers by Julius Peppers in the last game? You know what?
Yeah.
I would bet dollars to donuts that he had a minor concussion, and obviously they're not going to report that. But, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, it's hard enough to knock him down, let alone knock him out. How many times does he get sacked with just a bunch of guys, like, doing the horror around him? They can't even get him down. They just throw the flag and stop the play because they can't get the guy on the ground. I think the Steelers, you know, somebody we haven't heard from, Troy Polamalu in the last few games has really been, you know, quiet. Not that he hasn't been, you know, effective. He hasn't really made a big play. I think if the Steelers are going to win the Super Bowl, they're going to have to get a big play from him. And they may sacrifice a long pass play just to, you know, put Aaron Rodgers on his seat.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I completely agree with you. And your analogy of it's a little bit low, absolutely. That's the first thing I thought when I saw that that line, too. As you know, because you're talking about it, there's such a long time, the 2 weeks getting ready for it and all that. And I lived in Vegas, and always at any of the sports books, it generated excitement, I guess.
Because well, 2 weeks in Vegas is like 6 months anywhere else. Because, you know, nobody sleeps. You get every bit of every hour. Every hour is like it's like an episode of 24.
It is, no kidding. And they put all these crazy prop bets up. You and I mentioned that a little bit last week. It's always big with people. It's always big with the tourists that come in, not necessarily your regular guys.
Right, well,
maybe they might, yeah, you know, they might take some, but usually they don't play that. But it's big with people that just dabble.
Well, you know what? It's the last chance to dance. It's literally all the, you know, the action junkies that maybe bet football only or don't bet, you know, now until March Madness again, and then maybe the NBA playoffs and finals, you know, but their heavy betting, you know, concentrated betting is done during football, and that's 75% of gamblers anyway. You know, bookies know that, hey, listen, this is the last chance we're going to get these guys to bet football in a long time. Let's give them a bunch of extra bets and just rape them on the prices. You know, double up on the VIG, make them pay extra money. If something's a 5-to-1 shot, we'll only pay them 3-to-1. Who cares? They'll buy it. It's their last chance to dance. And I think that's what happens with the, you know, with the Mickey Mouse bets, like we call them. But, you know, there are a lot of interesting ones. I mean, if guys have a lot of fun with them, what I tell my customers is this: have fun, but don't over bet it. Don't play more than so much on the props where all of a sudden you need to push yourself into such a big bet on the game that now you've reached out further than you want to with your bankroll. You know, yeah. Have some fun, make some prop bets, but keep your eye on the prize, which is the game. And you want the most fun you're going to have forgetting everything else for a second, is going to be watching the entire game and having a root the entire game. Why bet on the coin toss and have all your wad be, you know, doubled or gone before the game even starts? Not a smart, you know, policy.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. It was just like a week ago where you had Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, saying that, you know, forget it, I'm not worried about my salary, I'm going to just toss it all in if we can not have this lockout and come to an agreement with the players' union. And the players just scoffed at that. A lot of them did anyway. Do you think we're going to see a lockout here? Because I think we might.
Well, you know, what's really important, you know, we're always going to see lockouts. And the reason why we see lockouts is because the players' union have to make themselves important. If everything is fine and there's never a problem and there's never anything to fight about and there's never an argument, who needs unions?
Right.
They're not necessary.
Yeah.
So these guys need to for a certain, and I understand the things that they're saying, and I think to a certain extent, you know, there has to be checks and balances. But I thought it was a nice, you know, gesture, you know, what he said. And what he said really was he's going to go into the negotiations with a certain spirit. And that spirit is, I want to do whatever I can to get a deal done. Now, the union right now, they can pretend that they're as strong as you know, as they want to pretend to be, but we also have seen the cracks with Cromartie, you know, and all the things going on with the players just saying, hey, let's get this done, it's only money, you know, this is our livelihood. All these comments came out, you know what, there's no way to sweep them under the rug. So I think it was a nice, the owners could have taken a very aggressive position after that happened. They didn't. They're coming in and saying, we want to get it done. I think they'll get it done. And now listen, that doesn't mean that, you know, we don't miss a few weeks of preseason. We could very well. But I think by the time that the regular season starts, we'll have a deal. You know, this new thing that we heard, the players now, well, from the union, that they're not, there's no way they're going to have 18 games.
Sure.
That's a negotiating tactic.
Yeah.
They already agreed to that. They're going to have it. But, you know, they want to go in and negotiate backwards. And that's just a negotiating tactic. And that's what happens when you get closer and closer to sitting to the table.
Yeah, no kidding. Steve Budin, sportsinfo.com, the Buddha Man. It was so fun this season. And enjoy the game.
One last block I'm going to give you before we go.
Okay.
I'm going to give you Pittsburgh Steelers in the first quarter plus a point. And I think what happens is that A-Raj comes in just a little bit starstruck, just a little bit overwhelmed by the scenario. It doesn't happen. It won't happen for him the whole game, obviously, or even too long. But I think it gives Pittsburgh a little